Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what I want.
Not Samson, Greg. Not Samson.
No, I want a top Samson.
Hey, that's pretty bad, but not all the way bad. In fact, they still lose by 20, 123 to 103. The Raptors lose to one of the best teams in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder. But in that, I mean, you get to watch Shea, who is always super fun to watch, and you get to see the Raptors throw a lot of defensive attention at him, which they're pretty good at doing for pieces and parts of the game before he figures it out. And before guys like Chet and guys like J-Dub kind of step up to help it out, even like Kenrick Williams or Cason Wallace in this game too. And then on top of that, you get one of the best graded games of the year, 21 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 turnovers. He's a little bit overextended, of course. Somehow Ochai Agbaji gets to 6 assists in this game, which is fun. Kelly Olynyk, hub stuff. And honestly, a little bit of gunning from Wara, all within the inside of the arc. And this game, I walk away from feeling like, oh, is a really fun game. The Raptors started out good. They won the first quarter. And in that first quarter, they were led in scoring and energy and miles traveled by one Mr. Grady Dick, who really did set the tone. It's games like this, and most games, quite frankly, when you see him, the whirling dervish, always running around the half court, always pushing pace when he gets the ball, always trying to like enter in and out of these gaps in the Thunder defense or the opposing team's defense. Cardio is very important to a shooter such as himself. And in this game, we got to see him poster Jalen Williams. We got to see him come down the lane, a little gut cut, finish, go into Chet's body, huge extension, finish at the bucket, looping layup. Can triples, draws fouls on the floor with that rocker step, throw a head dribble into space, go grab it. Isaiah Thomas, Detroit, that split, that throw a head dribble. It wasn't exactly that, but that's who I think of when I think of the throw ahead to go burst into space and grab it. Grady's obviously not there, but it's nice to see. That kind of stuff is a blast. And Kelly also, Savannah had an awesome interview with Kelly's mom during this game. And Kelly, he's not a superhero in the front court or anything, but 16, 5, and 6, 7 turnovers. He shot 78% from the floor. They started out this game looking to initiate him in the post against a small Oklahoma City team. And the very first play, they went to like an empty side pick and roll, became a dribble handoff. They reversed the ball. Since the Thunder switched at the point of attack, Kelly goes to enter, grinds a guy down under the bucket. Ochai makes the entry pass, and they kind of followed that for a few baskets early on. And that's also why Ochai was able to get, that 6 assists in this game. He found his way to it. The Raptors, they made a couple runs at it. It was a fun game. And of course it's fun when you break out in a lead. And of course it's fun when that kind of stuff happens. But as far as like process in this game, watching Grady go ballistic is a huge deal. Honestly, watching Garrett Temple play 18 minutes, not miss a shot, 8 points, 2 assists, 2 boards, an on-ball steal that he bargained, our labor king, Garrett Temple, he bargained with SGA to get that. It was a really fun game, honestly, with lots of good basketball. I got a play drawn up that isn't even reliant on Grady. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. And of course, for the sickos who want to hear how bad us media members are at basketball, I've got some scouting reports, not super in-depth, but I can tell you who's nice and what makes them good. First, I have to get Makai in here because Makai will be joining me to talk about this game. And then also on top of that, Makai will be doing the reaction pod for tomorrow's game. pretty fun. Breaking the seal on that one. Makai, he's the young up-and-comer at Raptors Republic. He's my little mentee, you know? Fun game. And the Raptors, they battled. Let's talk about the defense first. So basically what happened when the Thunder and the Raptors went to overtime way back when the Raptors were a healthier team, the Raptors employed a very similar coverage. You're throwing a lot of attention against Shai. You're going to bring two to the ball. If you don't bring two to the ball, you're stepping up, not even the nail help to the nail, but they're stepping up to above the break. He's seeing bodies on every single drive. You don't want the ball to enter into the middle, so you bring help and you force the ball from above the break on one side to above the break on the other side, and you try and catch up. This worked. OKC, they expect to shoot the basketball. They expect to hit threes, but they're not a lot of catch and shoot activity out of drives from Shai. And this will be one of the hot bun topics for them as they try and make a playoff run is, are the secondary guys good enough to carry them when you see these really aggressive schemes against Shai? Because Shai, as many people listening or watching right now, you'll remember if you watched the FIBA tournament where he was the best player there, he rocked. I know Dennis got the MVP, but Shai, if you throw that nail help, he's very comfortable pound dribble sidestep, hitting over the nail help with a midi. He's so comfortable in that release valve. He's one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. Volume, efficiency, all of that, especially off the bounce, right? So he can beat the nail help. You bring it sooner, yes, you're getting your defense a little bit more out of sorts, but if you stay connected and the effort is there, which it was for the Raptors, that nail help can take away those 16, 17 footers, make them the 19 to 21 footers that Shai, let's be honest, he doesn't want to take those repeatedly to try and like take the air out of the defense. He's going to move the ball on. You look at guys like Isaiah Joe. You look at guys like Josh Giddey. I know Giddey had the big game when they went to overtime, but I thought Giddey only playing 21, 22 minutes in this game, you could see, even with 10 and 5 in that little amount of time, the catch and hold aspect. You could see, you know, he wasn't able to keep the pace of the offense going. They needed Dort. They needed J-Dub. They needed Isaiah Joe. They needed Hayward, Kenrick Williams, you know, Cason Wallace, guys who are willing to put the ball on the floor to beat the Raptors. And Chet. This was a better game for Chet than the last one too, especially as it pertains to showing middle, being available in the catch radius to kind of, you know, take the air out of the Raptors' blitz and then pressure downhill, finish with a dunk or something like that. Like, it wasn't, Chet didn't get fouled a bunch in this game, but he had 8 made shots, 6 of them, like, right at the rim. That's the thing, you know? Ian here points out something really good. Raptors, the only team to keep Shai under 30 twice. That's meaningful. And, of course, like, Shai, he played 33 minutes in this game, and he didn't really have to play the end of the game, of course. But the Raptors, this is kind of Nick Nurse-esque in that when it comes to OKC, they throw the kitchen sink at him, and they make the OKC secondary players step up. And in that, I think it's kind of a cool game because with the Raptors, you can't, as a fan of this team, walk into these games being like, if we lose, it sucks. I hate it. This team sucks if we lose. It's not zero sum, right? The Thunder are also probably looking at this game like, we kind of need our secondary guys to be put in uncomfortable positions, to be put in positions to play make. So the Raptors are not only playing an aggressive defense where they get to attempt to stay on a string, where it's like more togetherness. It's less of like, you guard your guy. This is a two-man action. We have to stick it. It's more so, you know, here we are all hustling our asses off. Let's get into the spot and let's make it work. And the Thunder, they also get on the other side. They're like, we get to pressure, add that little bit to press guys like J-Dub to flatten it out. If they want to obsess over Shai and they're going to stick him like that, that means they're not going to do it on J-Dub. So J-Dub gets to run 1-4 or 2-4 flat and kind of get it to a spot, hit it. He goes 9-13 from the field. That's nice for OKC fans to see. They're probably like, wow, that run with Shai off the floor was a big deal. Seeing a guy like Cason really aggressively put the ball on the floor, really nice. Kenrick Williams as well. Just testing the Raptors' rotations, testing those stunts and their ability to get back after trying to like punch these, you know, these actions above the break, get them to the hash mark, get them to the sideline. So both teams, I think, get to do something interesting with this game. And Grady, to me, the most interesting of all. And here to talk about Grady, Guy Bruce, my guy.
Yo.
My son, my pupil. What do you think of Grady's game, man?
Oh, man, Grady. What a game from Grady. Just, you know, a lot of the same, you know, just off-ball movement stuff. He's, you know, flying all around the court. You really love to see that. Had that great spin move and then finished through contact on Chet. Just beautiful stuff. A lot of the game, I was just beautiful. Just, it's been, you know, kind of trending upwards with him lately. He's been really comfortable, you know, putting the ball on the floor, kind of getting into the paint a little bit. The three ball has been, you know, it started off really bad, but it's been better as the season progressed. So he's just been doing a lot of the things that I think Darko wants to see. He wants to see him, you know, fly off of the handoff actions. Mm-hmm. He wants to see him, you know, pump fake, get into the paint. He wants to see all the off-ball movement. I think it was just a lot of that great stuff.
Honestly, the thing that, like, you can see how well he reads the floor. Like, on his dunk, they show to him, because they're running, like, they're trying to run a delay action coming up of the break, get the ball to the trailer. But because it's a disjointed possession on the floor, there's a space for him to cut. The Thunder show middle. And then once the trailing defender, I think was Shea, I can't remember exactly, comes back, then the guy who's showing middle takes that step out, and Grady times his cut perfectly. That's when he goes middle, catches the pass, gets that dunk on J-Dub. And that's great timing on the cut, especially when, like, okay, Jontay Porter has the ball. I think Kenrick Williams is on him. He goes behind the back. He gets that slide. Like, Kenrick is like, ooh, I'm having a tough time sticking with Jontay Porter, which is not the, like, biggest compliment to him. But then Jontay starts to take it middle. When he starts to take it middle, that triggers help from the top. When that triggers help, Grady says, my help is triggered. I'm cutting right down the gut. Boom. Layup. Left-handed finish, right? It's just like reading the floor in that way. Fantastic. The way he moves the defense around because they notice him. The way they track him because they fear, you know, the gravity of him as a shooter. And the fact that he canned a couple triples today. Sublime. All of it was really fun. And as far as, like, what Grady becomes, what he's meant to be is like a player. You can see the finish at the rim, the English. He's got a little bit more size typically than movement shooters do. Not only do they, like, he doesn't have to be as rapid coming off of stuff and get himself into crazy motion because of that height. You see him come off of that stagger set, catch above the break, can the triple. He gets a little bit more time because it's a high release and he's a bigger guy. It's just like, you look at it happening, and in a game where the Raptors lose by 20, and you want to take something away from it, having, you know, the kid pop off, not such a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Did anybody else pop off to you in this game? Like, who? There's obviously the Grady aspect of it all, but who did you enjoy outside of that?
I really enjoyed Jordan Nwora. I feel like a lot of his drives and just some of the creation stuff he's done with the ball has been popping in these, you know, injury-riddled games. And I just really like kind of his, you know, will and just effort to get to the rim with the ball in his hands. So Jordan Nwora is somebody whose creation skills have really kind of popped off for me.
We can go over the Raptors. It was my favorite action of the game. It featured a Nwora bucket. You want to walk through that with me? How's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right. For the audio listeners, we're looking at the Raptors running. If you remember the famous rip screen action that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan always used to connect on for the lob, we're running a rip screen. So here we are on screen. And I think somebody made fun of me for, like, not putting my face in it. They're like, your face doesn't have to be there. I have to be able to see what I'm pointing at. That's why my face is poking out. Everybody listening. The Raptors, they set it up, right? Jontay Porter is in the paint. He's there. He's going to step up to set a rip screen. Garrett Temple is going to come off this rip screen, and the expectation is for him to come open because they're spaced out. Grady is spaced out on the weak side, and Jamias Ramsey spaced out on the strong side. Okay? Jordan Nwora is on the ball above the break. All of this is happening while Grady lifts. The paint is supposed to empty out a bit. It doesn't empty out completely. Then, because Chet, who is right here, he drops back into the space so that they can't make that pass. his instinct now is to recover up to the ball once Garrett leaks out to the corner. Okay? You're relying on some momentum and some inertia from the team. So what happens is Jonte flashes over here to where Jordan feeds him, and then Jordan immediately cuts off of him right to the bucket, and he makes a slick little bounce pass to him for a layup. Rip, middle, get. The quick way of saying it. Super fun play, and it's reliant on Garrett having the, you know, and Garrett Temple, if we're being real, probably shouldn't have that much like gravity as a cutter going to the rim. I don't know if he was like gonna bang, you know, a lob on him. I'm not sure. But it is kind of testing the momentum of Chet wanting to get loose and then defend the rim and then step back up into the action. You're basically relying on Chet not understanding the timing of the Raptors action. And the Raptors, honestly, the rip screen preoccupied the Thunder, I think, more than they expected. And that meant that Jordan, after he made the pass, he starts getting pressured above the break. Chet steps up to Jonte. Suddenly there's a huge gap in the middle of the floor, and he just gets to make like effectively a UCLA cut off the ball or off the man with the ball and then go to the rim. Pretty good. A good play. I liked it. Do you remember that play at all, Makai?
Not until you just described it, no.
It's a good one. And then like that speaks not only to Wara, you know, being a heady off-ball cutter on that play. That's really nice. But as you said, Wara, you know, you've talked about this. I've talked about this. When you consider like size, athleticism, a little bit of creation, and shooting ability, on this roster, Wara is the inflection of all those aspects of basketball more than a lot of other players. Like, it's just not a lot of guys. As much as Wara has struggled to get like a foothold on a few teams consistently over the course of his career, I mean, he is an NBA champion technically with the Bucks, of course, but he's very toolsy. He's older than a lot of people like for their prospects, etc., of course, but he can do stuff out on the floor, and we see that continuously in these games over the past handful of games, 10 games, whatever. Mm-hmm. When we look at a guy who the Raptors need creation from somewhere, he's willing to meet the moment and be the creator on a lot of these actions, which I admire because it can't just always be Grady. Grady taking 15 shots in a game, that's a lot for him. Playing 32 minutes, you can see him. Those shoulders, they roll forward. He's like heaving. He's tired, man. You know, he ran 18 miles in the first quarter just from point A to point B. And they need guys, as much as I like lament Bruce Brown pick and rolls, and I don't like they're not what I really want to watch. Lament. You got to fill the game with something. You got like 85 possessions. 85 is a lot. You got to find your way through a game. So Wara willingly being a guy who like steps in to usage and stuff like that, and Kelly being a guy who steps into usage, you can't turn your nose up at it when they combine for 10 turnovers, because what the hell else are you going to do? Thoughts on Garrett Temple, resident labor king?
Hey, man, Garrett Temple, just gotta applaud him just, you know, being ready. You know, as they say, you know, be ready, stay ready. That's like every bench guy's motto, like, oh, yeah, like I'm always ready. And Garrett Temple, I mean, you can't really ask for too much for him, but 8 points, 100% from the field, canned his triples. Like, you can't really ask for too much more than that. And I feel like, you know, his veteran presence has been, you know, really important, was really important tonight. So, props to Garrett Temple for being ready.
I think that's in this game, I was quite impressed, particularly with Grady and Garrett for the nail help. Because that was like completely essential to guarding Shea, is sending him the body, and like whether you're stopping his downhill momentum all the way or whether you're just making him like extend the drive by curving it so you have more time. It's not these direct lines right to the rim, right to the help for free throw opportunities, all that kind of stuff. It's important to step up into the right place. Like Shea, he went to the line 3 times in this game for 6 free throws. Nothing crazy. And he was 9 for 20, 23 points, and he had 6 turnovers. The Raptors, for the second game in a row, have provided him with a difficult cover, have provided him with a lot of pressure. And despite not having a bunch of like elite defensive personnel, you see one of the first plays of the game is that Grady, he switches on to Shea, steps up with the, like, the hard hedge, which I think because he got overextended turned into a switch, makes Shea take a couple negative dribbles. That's good. And then also, like, they run another action, a dribble handoff. He switches off of that. Then he has to chase, I think, Kaysen around a screen. Or sorry, maybe it was Lou Dort around a screen. Maybe it was even Jalen Williams. I can't remember exactly first play of the game. It's just like he's stab-stepping. He's getting around. He's throwing a lot of energy. It's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But there's effort there. And then also you see Garrett Temple come in later in the game, and he's finding the right spacing as a defender to make sure that those, you know, because you have to step to the right spot to infringe upon the drive and also not overextend yourself so the pass, one pass away, is such an easy angle. Like, you want to step into the spot and also maintain that you can pop out to make sure that that pass goes a little bit wider so the players have to come up court to retrieve it rather than down court, because otherwise then you just get these stampede cuts right into the guts of your defense. It's just like they found the pacing pretty well. It broke down over the course of the game for sure. I mean, 123 points is not, that's not like great, but the Raptors, you look at the team. Somebody asked Samson, where's Quickly? Igor Volkov asks, Quickly is out for a personal matter. And so there's that, but so like Scotty's out, broken hand. Jakob's out, broken hand. RJ's out for the personal matter we know about. Gary is out. Emmanuel is out for a personal matter. That's the team, man.
That's all the starters.
This is the team that people are watching this season. And there's nobody. Like, Grady has spent time in the G League this year. And he's stepping out here and leading the team in minutes. 32 minutes, 41 seconds. Leading the team in points. And you know what? The Thunder are healthy. They give them hell for a little bit. I look at this team and I say, like, well done. Like, a pat on the back for that game. I don't know if you have any, like, big ideas about this game or feelings about it, but that's where I'm at.
For sure, for sure. This game, I mean, like, the Thunder, they're number one in the West. Like, they're clearly an elite team. They got, you know, MVP, Shea. Like, this game was not supposed to be.
Excuse me? MVP Shea?
Okay. I mean, he should be MVP at this point. Like, they number one.
Okay.
Man, I mean, they really gave them a run for their money at times. Like, they made that run at the end of the game. They had a lead early on in the game. Like, it was clear. It's always clear with this team that the effort is there. But, you know, when you're playing, like, these high-level teams, like, we saw the same thing against the Nuggets the other night. Mm-hmm. They give them a great run for their money for, you know, a good, you know, amount of time. Over the course of the game, like, it's hard for these level talents to kind of replicate that. And we saw that tonight, like, things just kind of broke down. But even when they could have been down on themselves, they were down, like, 20-something, they still found a way to fight back in the game. So a night like this, a team like this where, like, everybody is out, you know, whether it be injuries or personal matters, like, you just got to tip your cap at just the effort that the team showed, really.
Phoenix Plays E says wrong. The MVP is Nikola Jokic. I wonder how it shakes out. To me, it's like a toss-up. He also says, I don't see a team in the NBA that can take 4 out of 7 from Denver. You damn near have to play perfect to beat them. Yeah, but yeah. Like, Jokic is the best player in the league. But yeah. Shea might win MVP. That's kind of where I'm at with it. You know, that's like Kendrick brought, like, the MVP discussion to his heel, man, last year. And I wonder if there's, like, any effects from it all this time later. It just, it'll be funny to see how it shakes up. Playoff Pierce also says, I wish Jakob was a passer like Olynyk at the center spot, or if they could get a 4-spacing 5 and let Scotty be the passing hub. The team is better with Pirtle, but harder to guard without him. I think that Jakob is a passer like Olynyk.
Yeah, I would just think that he could pass, really, right?
I just think that the Raptors, they, like, obviously, part of being a playmaker is engendering a defensive response so people step out so that there's more room. Like, a split action with Jakob is in, there's you in the defense is in a better position to defend it because you can kind of sit back on it. Mm-hmm. And, like, if it's Kelly, he can just, like, run that split action and then pivot and can a 3. if anything goes wrong. But Phoenix Plays E says Olynyk is a more talented passer. I think so, but like Jakob is a really good passer for the five. It depends on spacing for sure. But the Raptors completely changed. Like the structure of the offense is definitely, they helped build it with Poeltl. Like Poeltl has had a lot of good passing games this season. The Raptors completely changed how they run the Scottie and Pascal actions this season. And obviously Pascal isn't around anymore, but like that kind of stuff is, yeah. Everyone's arguing about MVP and you know, in the chat. It doesn't matter, you guys. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Jokic doesn't even care. But I mean,
I shouldn't have really said anything, man.
I don't really. Do you have a preference? I know you don't. Like either one could win, and it wouldn't matter to me. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Shea winning would be cool. Jokic winning would be cool. Like it doesn't really matter to me. Like,
yeah, I was never one for like awards. I don't think. Mm. You know,
I used to be, but lately, like last couple of years, I'm like, yeah, it didn't really matter.
That's when you release the new video tomorrow. That's like who should be the MVP? Share
MVP prediction.
Yeah. What do you think of Javon? By the way, I kind of want to. You know, Coco asks what we think about Javon. How do you feel about the JFL? How do we feel about how JFL did on his first start? He did starting point guard 4 of 10. I will say, I think that JFL had a tough time getting the Raptors into some actions. I think that like he's way in over his head as a point guard at the NBA level because that is just such a high octane position. But I liked how he pushed pace. I did really like that.
Yeah, I thought he was doing a great job. Sorry, Kobe's right here playing like he wants to play with this cow. But I thought he did a pretty good job like going to the floater a good amount. I feel like he had a couple of floaters that went down. And, you know, he's kind of – I feel like he's kind of on the smaller side to, you know, be going at Chet like that. So I feel like he did a good job, you know, like I said, getting to the floater. But, yeah, I feel like he was kind of antsy a little bit. I think he had some turnovers that were kind of ugly. And, you know, I think it went, like, kind of fine. But, like, for a guy who, like, has spent most of the season in the G League, who's, you know, starting against the number one team in the West, I mean, you can't really expect too much, in my opinion.
I wasn't bothered by it. It's just like he'll be in a more comfortable position. This is what, you know, you wrote a big, like you talked about Javon a lot at the start of the season, expectations for him. So did I. One of the big things about his game is his recognition that he's able to make as a cutter in space. If he's on ball, he doesn't get to make as many of those. If he doesn't have, you know, a high quality starter who's drawing the defense in, less of those cuts are available to him. And when we look at him in this game as a creator, overextended, but also being part of that like first unit for the Raptors to like throw a lot of attention and a lot of aggressive coverage at Shea, I thought he played well within that. He got scrammed out of the paint a couple times, was quick to step out to the perimeter, switched across actions pretty easily when the Raptors were doing so. Like, and he's not great around a screen, but at least he gave him hell as best he could. It's JFL, you're up against it, but this is where the Raptors are, especially since the Raptors aren't a high pick and roll team anymore. They're not really like the way Linsanity popped off. You were a youngin back then, you know.
That was.
But like they have Tyson Chandler. The Knicks are this pick and roll team when Melo's out and Jaylen walks in and just starts spamming pick and rolls, gunning like crazy. The Raptors aren't really like the home of like a scoring guard because they're not doing that. Like your scoring guard has to like Jamal Murray could come onto this team and immediately pop off because of the actions they're running. Maybe De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk. But as far as like handing the keys to Javon Freeman Liberty and giving him space to create, it's like, nah, they're mostly moving through actions to get the ball to Kelly and he might filter into the corner. He might come up out of the corner on the secondary action, stuff like that. But as far as that kind of stuff goes, I mean, it's the Raptors don't have a ton of stuff to like weaponize a G League guard. They're playing in scheme. There's a reason like we see it game after game. It's pretty egalitarian how the shot totals work out for like the Raptors starters. Like I know Grady took 15 in this game. Part of that is like really timely cuts, transition possessions, and he got up seven threes, and the Raptors were a bit more intentional running those actions to get him those. But 10 attempts for Agbaji, 9 attempts for Kelly, 8 attempts for Bruce, 10 attempts for JFL, 10 attempts for Wara, 7 attempts for Ramsey. Like, they're just the guys who are coming out of the corner and running out of delay action and Chicago actions. Like, everyone's getting a shot at it. So JFL doesn't really get to like flatten out and cook like he does in the G League. And honestly, most impressed in this game that he was part of a good aggressive defense to start this game. It's been an encouraging run of like effort from these Raptors. Sacramento game aside, because they got absolutely slammed in that one.
That was tragic.
It didn't work out very well. But Makai, you want to talk about, we've been 30 minutes of the conversation. I promised the people I would talk about the media game, some scouting reports.
Oh, the media
game. Do you have any questions? We'll start it off that way about, like, is there any media members who you're wondering, like, were they good at basketball? Were they nice with it?
I mean, was Lewis any good? Is Lewis nice with it?
Lewis is good. I've played with Lewis, like, countless times. I don't know exactly who he plays with, but like he can finish with both hands at the rim, has a huge sweeping cross. That's like he loves the sweeping cross, and he's a galloper going down the lane. Big steps, boom, boom, and then can finish with English at the bucket. He's definitely more ground bound, but MSJ says Doug Smith can still dunk, I heard. He didn't play in the game, and I don't think he can dunk. Coco says, Samson, where did you make the three from that Shea didn't? The left wing. Guess that's just how it works out sometimes, you know. Anybody else you're wondering about? People in the chat, if you're interested about a media member that you know played, feel free to ask too. But Kai, who are you thinking?
Thinking that Adam guy, the one that you did the jersey swap with.
Oh, yeah, Adam. Well, firstly, let me say that Adam is the best of the best. He's very funny. I sit next to him at games. And he had the best jersey because we were all wearing pinnies. But he had a San Diego State Kawhi Leonard jersey in red. Wow. And as far as how that was going, Adam doesn't play much basketball. But I don't even think he turned the ball over, which is a huge, like, that's fantastic. And on top of that, like, when he got the ball, he knew when to move it on. He had some little pump fakes, moved the ball, and that was good.
You got Coco some says, you saying.
Yeah. Coco says, I heard that Sav would have been MVP if you won. I have no idea, actually. She had a lot of buckets in the first quarter. That was the two plays that, because Jamup drew up like five plays or so for us, and we didn't run any of them successfully except for the one run for Sav, the pinch post action for her. Because, you know, it's hard to get everybody organized on an NBA floor. But the first play we were running was just, we were running a high pick and roll middle with me on ball, Savannah screening. And then we were running dunker spot fills to corner, corner lifts, and the strong side corner stays. And for some reason, we could never get anybody in the dunker spot. So, like, the spacing was always wonky. And it was just kind of like a five out corners filled pick and roll anyway. Which also meant that the nail help was more ready there. But the only play that we did get was we spaced all three guys on the weak side. I'd bring the ball up the floor, pinch post entry to Savannah, and then I'd cut middle and filter, and we'd work from there. But even then, it was like, it was hard to make it work out of the set actions. But Savannah, she had a one really nice basket on Will Liu, whereas like we ran a middle pick and roll, she sealed, little post entry, one dribble, hit a hook over him. I was like, damn, that was nice. Coco asks, how is Blake as a coach? Great. Blake is the best of the best. But yeah, it was fun. The best player out there, the guy who scored the most points was a producer. Dwayne was like, I think he definitely had over 20 points, and he went to work in the post. And that's why we lost. He killed us. Randy Urban, who's part of Open Gym, was also really nice. He hit a couple threes early in the game, and I was like, damn, this guy can shoot it. And as far as, like, I guess anybody else, Gavin, pregame producer for the Raptors, was nice. I think he played at the TMU, formerly known as Ryerson. He won MVP, actually. And Akil was good. Sav was good, although I've played with Sav many times before. I don't know about anybody else. The rest, everybody kind of like faded in. It was just like ball movement, et cetera, et cetera. I will say this much, though. Joe Wolfond, jacked.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about all I've got as far as like the game. I wonder, was there any other big baskets? You know, Chelsea was playing and she didn't make a basket, but I respected kind of Goose is similar. Like the gunner mentality is like, I'm going to get a shot up no matter what. And she really embodied that. Oh, also, it was 50-47 and we had a timeout and we tried to run the OG play. Kyle, the OG. You run it out of the corner, you run the elevator, shoot to the corner, you make the pass all the way across. However, the pass only made it to the free throw line, so we didn't get to actually. I saw the ball floating towards me, and I was like, it's my moment. I'm going to catch. I'm going to hit. We're going to tie the game. But the ball just didn't make it there, unfortunately.
Damn.
Yeah. But it was so much fun, man, to, like, play on an NBA court, to, like hit a handful of shots on an NBA court, cash some triples, like, that kind of stuff. Sick. It was this is the first time they've had the media game in, like, years and years. And it said first annual, so I'm like, man, are they going to do this next year? I hope we get to do this every year because I had such a blast. But afterwards, people were telling me I should have shot more, which happens every time I play. And so next year, I was just like, you know, you move the ball on, everyone's out there. Next year, I'm a gunner. Next year, I'm taking like 18 shots over the course of the game instead of,
you know,
like,
waiters type game.
Yeah. Instead of 6 shots, I'm taking 18.
You only took 6 shots?
I think 6 shots, yeah.
Damn.
I had a heave at the end of the game. Yeah, I think I only took 6 shots. But everyone's out there. You know, everyone wants to get some shots up. You're playing at Scotiabank. And it did get a little bit competitive. Somebody asked who was the biggest trash talker. I think Randy and Randy and Akil had something going. I think Dwayne and Savannah also had, like, they were trash talking a lot as well. But nice. Yeah, it's that was Savannah after the game. She said, "You're the white shooter, and you're not shooting enough." And I was like, "Wow, damn, cooked." yeah, but that's the media game. Kai, do you have any thoughts on the upcoming Wizards game before we get out of here and I show you the ropes on how to run this for tomorrow night?
Any thoughts on the Wizards game, man?
Is that the end of the Raptors losing streak is what I'm wondering.
Oh, I gotta see who's healthy for them, because I know we ain't gonna be healthy. Let me not say we, but I know the Raptors aren't gonna be healthy. So
I would, like, the Raptors are supposed to be losing, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But losing 10 in a row would be, that'd be tough.
Tragic, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's the Wizards, but at the same time, like, these Raptors, like, there's just nobody that plays. Everybody's out. I don't really know what to say. Like, the Wizards have 12 wins, but, like, we got, yeah.
They're 3-7 in their last 10. The Raptors are 1-9, and they might be, if they lose this, then they're 0-10 in their last 10, which would be crazy. I guess what I'll ask you then, What would be the most compelling thing that you hope happens that you get to talk about after the game?
Every one of these games, I hope that Grady just goes off and just looks really good. So I can say, wow, look at Grady. Like, this looks great. Like, imagine when we're healthy, it's going to look even better. That's what I really hope for every time one of these games rolls around, honestly. Just Grady being good.
Are you prepared to just monologue nonstop? Because I remember, after Will Liu got hired by Yahoo Sports and eventually obviously went on to do, you know, Sportsnet, etc. But after he left Raptors Republic and I got the podcast, that first podcast I did, and it wasn't live, but I was just sitting there like, damn, it's really hard just to talk for 15 minutes. And like a React Pod at that point in time was only like 15, 20 minutes. Word. And I was like, man. I was like, I don't know how to do this. It's it's not really human to just like monologue on a whim, right? And now I can do it for an hour, which is insane, of course. And, you know, this is leaning me closer and closer towards sociopathy, I'm sure. Like, how could it be? How could it be anything else? But how long do you think you can talk without breaking?
I mean, I've been doing like YouTube videos for years now, so I've got a little practice. Yeah, I got a little practice just sitting in a room, looking at a camera, just yapping, essentially. So I got
a one take Jake too.
Indeed, I am. That's how we get the sweat video. But I think I could talk for a little bit. At least.
I remember I came back from New Zealand. I landed after like a 14-hour flight. I see you put in chat. You're like, "Yo, help me feed the family." I was like, "Yeah, go watch this video, bro." Just sweating. Oh man, that killed me. Yeah, okay. You're more ready for it than I was at that time. Like your first go at it.
Something interesting happens to me to like harp on, just talk about for a little bit. But Wizards, Raptors, at this point in the season is a rough game.
That's nasty business. It is. I don't even like we got one good Wizards Raptors game this year, and Pascal hit a game winner and like popped the hell off, and they came back from what was it like 22 or something like that.
Oh yeah,
super fun game. You know, both Scotty and Pascal made shots late. You get to talk about how they attacked with the same action repeatedly, how the game winner action, nobody actually knew what set they were running, and so Pascal just went up and like got the ball, and you're like, okay, understood. And that's all fun, but at this point in time, Phoenix plays E with a fun one. Samson, I was going through the archive of your 2019 pods. You really picked Milwaukee over us in the ECF. I did. The Raptors were like a shred away from going down 3-0 in that series. And I did think that Milwaukee was going to win. But like the Raptors won. And that was awesome to cover. But Milwaukee, they threw that first punch and they threw it hard. And they almost threw it so hard. They went up. They so close to going up 3-0. Like the Raptors had guys fouling out left and right. You know, Kyle leaves the game. You're like, what the hell are they going to do? And then all of a sudden, they sort out the Giannis matchup, which they had immense trouble with. They are not getting killed by the corner actions with Chris anymore. And it was like, man, I was really, really impressed. And as you say here, I did pick the Raptors to beat Golden State. And I can't remember if I picked in 6 or 7, but I was glad to pick that one. But the Bucks, I was like, especially since I do like regular season to be indicative. I remember Eric Bledsoe was giving Kyle the business in that matchup. And Kyle turned it around in the playoff context, which I thought was really impressive, which was awesome. But Bledsoe, like in the regular season, had the clamps on Kyle to like an insane degree, and I was worried about that. But you listen to the podcast, you would have heard me talk about that, of course.
You were doing this back in 2019. How long you been doing this?
2019 was my first year.
Ah.
Yeah. I joined Raptors Republic as Blake left it. And I joined the same year that Blake got hired by The Athletic, that Will got hired by Yahoo, and that Vivek got hired by Yahoo. So there's this huge exodus of all the like talent that had amassed at Raptors Republic. And then it was like a hodgepodge of us. And then Lewis and I emerged as the guys who were like, and Anthony Doyle was doing a lot of work back then too. But Lewis and I eventually emerged as the guys who were like doing lots of work. And I think William Liu calls the Raptors Republic mic the golden mic, because a career befalls whoever is handed it or something like that. So fingers crossed, mine keeps ascending. Let's say
the golden
Oh, here's a fun comment from Phoenix Plays. He says, funny thing is Eric Bledsoe in a post-game presser during that ECF said after game 5, I'm pretty sure that Kyle is probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame before the series was over. Lisa Nagaib. He was telling the truth, man. Eric saw it. Kyle is definitely going to the Hall of Fame. He's the coolest point guard, not of all time, but he's one of the coolest point guards of his era. And he's a little scammer for sure. Wait, can I ask you something, Kai?
What's going on?
How did you feel about Kyle Lowry before I said, hey, young man, I think you could write for Raptors Republic for some money. How did you feel about Kyle Lowry before you became associated with the Raptors?
Oh, like back in the day?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
when he took the charge in the All-Star game, did you like throw something at the TV?
No, I mean, in a moment, I was like, I was a little like, dang, like they called it charge. Like at a moment like this, wow. But like overall about Kyle Lowry back in the day, like before I really like locked in on the NBA, I was just like, oh yeah, he's like an all-star every year. He's, you know, pretty good passer. He always makes them pull up threes. Like Kyle Lowry's cool. Like he's a good dude, good player. But I was never like crazy about him. Like, cause I didn't know his game. Like I know it now, obviously, but like back then I'm like, yeah, this is a good guy. But I used to always be like, yeah, DeMar is definitely better. Back in the day, I used to say that.
Yeah, you and Trey, you didn't know each other, but you're like, DeMar is the king.
Whereas, yeah, I was like, always like, yeah, DeMar is the guy. DeMar, yeah. Like, what a guy.
DeMar is my favorite player of all time. I still watch his games to this day. He was my, like, I just loved watching from when he got drafted, growing into the player that he became. But I just couldn't talk myself into him being the number one. Because I still, as like a guy who played point guard, watching Kyle direct the symphonies on the floor, I was like, I can't get it in my bones to say that like DeMar is better than Kyle, even though the points per game stuff was there. But Yeah, it's a fun player. All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. Make sure to like the video before you get out of here. It helps promote it via the algorithm. Although, you know, views are down as everyone correctly checks out of this team.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard to listen. It's hard to listen to, like, you know, that's this. When teams win, you get more fans. When teams lose, you get less fans. Less fans means less people are interested in listening to a schlub like myself talk about a game for 40 minutes.
Simple math,
simple math. Quick stuff there. Thank you to everybody who does watch, you bunch of sickos. Sickos I very much appreciate. And if you're interested, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're almost at 11,000 subscribers, I think. We're not going to hit it by the end of the season, but maybe if we do some good draft stuff, we'll get there in the off season. Who knows? And if you have the means and you want to support the website, you can go to RaptorsRepublic.com and subscribe over there. And stay tuned for tomorrow night. Kai's going to break the seal on this one, man. He's coming in solo. Well, actually, you can invite people if you want. But Kai's going to be directing.
I'm going to be a man. I'm going to do it alone. I'll be a man.
Yeah.
A real man.
Okay. This is going to be a manly podcast after tomorrow night's game.
For sure.
It's a late game, too. Don't it start at like 9 or 9:30?
Nah, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? Okay, that's not so bad. Godspeed to you.
I hope it's a good one, man. I'm praying.
Yeah. Prayers up. All right. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. And whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.
Peace.